Okay, let's go ahead and we'll get started. Let me start it on this training school evening, and we'll pray first, and then we'll jump right into the word on today. Father Yah, we bless your name on today, and we glorify you for all that you are and what you do in our lives, and we just praise you. We put our trust completely in you. We depend upon you for all things pertaining to life and godliness. We bless you. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. Alrighty. I want to deal with some things in the study, in our study on tonight. And there are some things that I find interesting. Just make sure you're on mute. Make sure you're on mute. Okay. And so, again, there are some things that we'll look at, and I'm excited about this lesson because there are some things that the scripture reveals, and we'll get a good understanding of it on tonight. Okay, now I'm just trying to see where to start. We'll start in Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11, and then we'll move around just a little bit, and then we'll tie it all together. Amen. Now, Genesis 11, verse 1 says, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech." The whole earth, basically everyone, I'll just read it. In verse 2 it said, "And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there." Well, when you look at Shinar, that's the, Iraqi territory today, and people come to understand it as also as Babylon, ancient Babylon. And then there are some other scriptures that we'll look at because there are names that change. We'll see that it's Mesopotamia, and we'll just allow the scriptures to kind of tie in some things. And what we're going to do in the lesson of tonight is we're going to let the scripture position us to put some things in. Put some things in their proper place. Okay. So we'll look at these things. Okay. Now, again, Genesis 11 verse 1 says, "The whole earth was of one language and of one speech." As you look at the scripture here, it points out that, you know, at one time frame, all mankind spoke the same language. And we know, obviously, in Genesis chapter 11, as we deal with, you know, how their language was confounded in verse 9, and that's why in verse 9 it called it Babel, okay? And that's what Babel means, and that's why it refers to the tower and all that that's in association with this area or Babel. Okay, and so again, verse 2 said, "It came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, 'Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, 'Go to, let us build up a city and a tower, whose top may reach it, italicized so you can take it out, whose top unto heaven, and let us make us a name, that we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth.'" Verse 5 said, "And Jehovah came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men built. And Jehovah said, 'Behold, the people is one,'" or "the people one. and they have all one language. They all spoke the same language. This they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Verse 7, he says, go to, let us go down. And they are confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So verse 8 says, so Jehovah scattered them abroad from the face of upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Verse 9, therefore is the name of it called Babel or Babel. Babel, because Jehovah did there confound their language of all the earth. So when we look at the word confound, just to kind of deal with it from the Hebrew meaning, of the word. The word confound is balo, and it means to, in a nutshell, to mix or to mingle the language. So when you look at the word confound, that's what he said. That's the reason why people speak different languages today, is because it basically stems from what Yah did to mankind in Genesis chapter 11. Well, from the understanding that we have that the earth is not round, but indeed it's flat, you will see, it's flat based upon Genesis chapter 1, you will see of the possibility and why Yah went down to mix their language. He basically said in a nutshell, as we read the verses again, verse 6, he says, and Jehovah said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, colon, and nothing will restrain from them which they have imagined to do. Yah was basically saying in a nutshell, because the colon connects it, is that that idea that they had, that imagination, dealing with the mental disposition, that they had imagined to do, Yah was saying, they have the capability of pulling this off, you know. And so when you look at it, that's the reason why the language was confounded. Obviously, when you look at, the root reason of this here, mankind was supposed to, supposed to scatter all over the world, like Yah had commanded. He commanded them in Genesis when he, I believe it's Genesis 1. Genesis 1, he commanded them that they replenish the earth, you know. And so from that perspective, they were in direct conflict against the Most High, in that they were wanting to make a name for themselves. It even comes all the way up to date where you have people who are always trying to make decisions, and they're trying to make those decisions apart from Yah. Well, mankind has been that way since Adam and Eve, since our parents, Adam and Eve. They've always had the mindset of we want to be as gods. We want to judge ourselves. We want to make our own decisions. I don't like anybody to tell me what to do. And that was the mindset of mankind, and that's the reason why when you look at certain systems and certain evil mindset of men, they look at Satan or Lucifer, however you want to call him, as the good guy, because they was like he was trying to bring knowledge to mankind, but yet this selfish Yah who created all things was trying to, keep man in bondage to hold information from mankind. So that's why you have these Satanists and different things like that. They have their mindset and they worship Satan because, they view him as the good guy. Well, any good parent know that, certain things you want to keep away from your children because they're not what's best for them. And at the same time, we can look at that from the time that Adam sinned. And we'll see that, this world has been in a mess ever since. And Yah has been, making plans to to basically redeem mankind and the earth, you know, because there were certain things that had, there were certain things that happened to the earth as far as the curse is concerned too. You know, it didn't happen just to man, but all creation had struggled from what man did in the Garden of Eden. So so as you look at this rebellion, we traveled from the east, and as you go back and look at other scriptures, you see where our nation was traveling from the east. I'm trying to remember the mountain. It was I'm trying to remember where it was. Mount Ararat, which is in Saudi Arabia, I believe Saudi Arabia. So when you look at what an ark landed, or however you want to put it from the perspective of Noah's ark, so to speak, it landed in Mount Ararat, in that region of Mount Ararat or Saudi Arabia. And when we as mankind are the sons of Noah and the descendants migrated eastward from Mount Ararat and settled in Shinar, which is Babylon or the Iraqi territory today. And so as you're looking at that, that is vital information so that we can come into an understanding of where of some things. Now as you look at this, they're scattered, and then as we skip down now, I want to start dealing with our father Abraham, okay? And we'll start at verse 26, because this is the main portion of the lesson that we want to deal with. In the middle of the end, if you got something, just make sure you just slow me down and jump in. Now, verse 26 says, and Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And these are the generations of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran, and Haran begot Lot. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity, okay, in his native land. This is some vital important information. In his native land, in Ur of the Chaldees. Okay? In Ur of the Chaldees. Now, Ur is important, but the Chaldees is also very important because it's going to reveal to us the truth. Okay? Now, verse 29 says, Abram and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah, the father of Iscah. But Sarah was barren. She had no children. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son. Now, question, now, why did he take Lot?
Because his father was already dead.
His father was always dead. So when you look at how our nation operated, and when you look at how the system forces us to operate, it breaks down the family. We as a nation didn't separate from one another. You know, everybody didn't go get their own stuff away from one another. We all migrated or stayed around the same regions as families and things like that. And so when you look at the villages, that old saying, you know, take the village to raise a child, well, our nation was the villages. And so we was a close-knit family. And everybody was connected, and we all knew who we were. You know, I was walking at the state fair this year, and we run into about 20 people or so, give or take. You know, they had T-shirts or some form of shirts that said, you know, basically, nutshell, you know, the bosses. You know, and I'm looking and I'm like, man, I know I'm related to those people because you don't have, you know, you don't have, bosses that, you just don't have bosses. That name is rare. You know, so I'm like, man, I know I'm related to these people. And so, you know, I stopped them and was like, okay, where are y'all from? And they told me where they was from. And it's pretty much the same, you know, the same area where, you know, where the majority of the bosses are, you know, are from. And so, so I just thought it was interesting, And so, you know, the reason why we're like that even as bosses is because we live in a system that divides family. You know, it divides family and it doesn't favor things that our nation was raised up knowing and understanding and things like that. And so a lot of history is lost because of that. We, you know, there were a lot of things that was written as far as our nation was concerned, but you have some members of our nation who are still over in the regions of Africa. They know more about our history than what we do, you know, because as we were scattered further and further out, we lost our identity. Well, some of them are in the land of Africa. They still know who we are. They know that we're, you know, they have ancestors or relatives here in America. They still keep the same customs and things like that. And so things that's new to us, you know, we would be shocked, you know, as the nation of Israel to find out today we don't understand. We would just be shocked. We'd be like, what? You mean you have Israelites that don't honor the Sabbath? And you have Israelites who worship on Sunday instead of Sabbath? That's just, you know, that just be blasphemous, you know, blasphemy type of stuff, you know, as far as our nation is concerned. But yet, because we lost those family heritages and things like that, you know, funeral services and different things like that. Everybody's done it on the side. And when you go see, they were trying to get the Savior in his tomb before the Sabbath. But well, that's the favorite time we like to have it, on the Sabbath. And all these things are reasons why we're in the position that we are in as far as the nation, you know, as far as the nation is concerned. So when you look at that, like Elder said, you know, you see the relationship where, okay, his son died, so he stays connected with his grandson. So verse 31 says, again, and Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. Now, question now, because we'll make sure you understand it. They went forth from where? Look at the verse. From Ur of what? Of the Chaldees. But that's very important. They went forth from there to go into the land of Canaan. Canaan is first of all a man. So the land of Canaan is a descendant of Canaan is a descendant of Ham. So the land of Canaan is Africa. So let them tell you that that's the Middle East, because that land, that is the promised land, was originally the land of Canaan, who is the son of Ham. And when you look at the table of nations, you see that the descendants of Ham settled in Africa. Okay? And so when we look at these scriptures and we're able to connect the name to the land and to understand how it's operating, you know, how things are operating, Yah gave us the land of Canaan as the promised land. Well, that land is Africa. Well, we know it's Africa, but when you start looking at these other lands as names, the name changes and things like that, you know, it starts to be Jerusalem, and it starts to be the land of Israel and different things like that. Well, you go all the way back to that area, Jerusalem, the Jerusalem that you see today, that whole region is Africa. They call it the Middle East. It's Africa. Actually, when you help me with that word, you know, actually when you look at it on a map, it sit on the, what is it, tectonic? I always say it, sound crazy. Tectonic, I said it right. It sits on the tectonic plate of Africa. Okay? What is classified as the promised land, it sits on that plate. So it is, I believe, northeast Africa as far as that plate is concerned. Okay? So when you look at it from that perspective, we start to see the truth. Now, verse 31 again says, Terah took Abram his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law. Sarai was daughter-in-law, but I believe from correct the scripture points out that Sarah was also his daughter. It's called his daughter-in-law because she married to Abram. Abram would tell Sarah to say to men, because our mother was his. Our mother, because I call Abraham my father. So our mother Sarah, it's Sarah here, but it was changed to Sarah. Our mother Sarah was a beautiful woman, even in her 80s and things like that. And so men wanted her. And so Abram would always say when they would go in strange areas, because he had fear that they were going to kill him in order to have his wife, that he would say, you know, tell them you're my sister. And so when they called him on the carpet about it, when they would see, they would call it making sport. They would catch sometimes, you know, him and Sarah kind of being affectionate with one another. And they call Abram out on it, or our father Abraham out on that. And he was like, you know, he's like, okay, I thought you said I was your sister. And he was like, well, in reality, she is my sister. She's the daughter of my father.
Yeah, I think they have different mothers.
Yeah, they have different mothers. You are correct. They have different mother, but he said she's the daughter of my father. So they had different mothers, but actually Abraham and Sarah, I'm gonna say Abraham and Sarah, they were actually brother and sister. They had the same dad. Okay, and so when you look at these things, that's why you have when you hear people talk about the elite and different things like that, they will say it's a bunch of inbreeding and stuff like that. Because what they do is try to obey our customs. Our customs as a nation of people, we didn't marry outside nations, so we married within the brothers. Okay? And that, you know, and so you will see, you know, it's funny how you will see the system have laws in place that will say, you know, we'll call it incest and other things like that, and there is a certain perspective to things. But when you look at how the scripture points out, that's how nation state is at. Okay, and then I said I have to say this: the elite do that, but yet they put laws out there and say it's incest, but yet they do. It's a bunch of inbreeding. That's all they do. All these different politicians and presidents and all these kind of stuff, they're all related. A bunch of inbreeding. Okay? I'm not advocating, you know, for something like that to be done nowadays, you know, but I'm just speaking truth. That's all I'm doing, speaking truth. Okay? Now, verse 31 again. And Terah took Abram his son and Lot the son of Haran his son's son and Sarah. His daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. So I'm going to ask you a question again. When did Terah and Abram and Lot and their family, where did they leave from? Ur of what?
Yeah.
Ur of Chaldees? Okay. Now, to go where? in the land of Canaan, Africa. We know that Ham's descendant, so the land of Ham, or the land of Canaan, is Africa, okay? And they came to Haran and dwelt there. Verse 32 said the days of Terah were 205 years. Actually, 205 years. We lived longer back then. That's going to happen again during the millennial reign. When Christ returns, men are going to be living for a long time again. I think the scripture even says that at 100 years old, they'll be still considered a baby. Men are going to live a long time again during the 1,000-year millennial reign. Okay? Still going to be dying taking place. Why? Because it's not the white throne judgment yet. So everything is all about this, the first resurrection. When Christ returns, the saints will rise first, resurrection, and there will be people still living on the planet when Christ returns. Those people will enter the 1,000-year millennial reign. Some nations will be required to come up to worship the King of Kings in Jerusalem, and that's where you see I think it's called the Feast of Tabernacles, where our nation had, there were times when our nation had tents and they would come and dwell in Jerusalem. That's where you see Acts chapter 2 taking place. All the nation of Israel would migrate to Jerusalem at the time. That migration is going to be taking place again in the future. Okay. Now, verse 32 says, in the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died where? In the rain. Okay, so he died in Iran. They had left where?
Ur
of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And the scripture says Terah died in Haran. Now, when you go to the next chapter now, Genesis chapter 12.
Of course.
Go ahead.
Isn't that his son's name? Did they name that land after it?
I guess so. I don't know if they named it after him, but you're correct, it is the same name. And so they may have named it after him. I'm not too sure. I hadn't studied that to find out if they actually named it after him. Okay. But you are correct because
I always thought that was weird when I read it. I'm
right.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, in the way that we understand our nation operate, it could very well have been. I don't know. Either that or it was another person named Haran. I don't know. But we know they named land after the name of the person. So
right.
It may have been his land. So it may have been. And there's no contradiction on that whatsoever. Okay, now, I'll read verse 32 again. Says, the day of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. Where did Terah die?
In Haran.
Now, let's go to the next chapter, and this is where it starts to get interesting now. It says now, Genesis 12, verse 1 says, Now Jehovah had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Call us, but we're not going to that. Now, when you look at Abram in Genesis 12, where is he? Based upon Genesis 11. Where is Abram based upon that? Let's go back.
Canaan,
Haran. We'll go back to confirm now.
Is Haran in Canaan?
No.
When they left Ur, they went to
Haran.
Canaan, they said, right?
Well, when you look at verse 31, it says, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan.
Oh, I got you.
Okay,
so it doesn't necessarily mean they made it there.
Okay. Correct.
Gotcha.
So that's how you look at scripture, okay? And so as we're looking at this, you have to pay attention to all of the details. All of the detail. That's why when I went back, I knew Ella was going to see it because, you know, we look at scripture the same way. And so once I went back and when I said go, he was like, oh, okay, so cause all I had to do was say the words and I knew he was going to understand it. Well, you have to be the same way. Okay.
Did you say they had made it there yet?
No, because it would let us know that in verse 31.
That makes more sense, too, because I was still thinking, okay, why would the land in Canaan be named Haran? You know, because that didn't, but if they never made it to Canaan, it would make more sense that it would be Haran.
Right. So as you look at now, what was your question again?
They had made it there yet?
No, they hadn't made it. And this is how we know that. Now, when you look at the latter verse of 31, as Elder had mentioned, once we looked at it again, it said, and they went forth with them from Ur of Chaldees. Ur is a place in Chaldees. Very important.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important. Ur is a place of the Chaldees, okay, of the Chaldees, to go into the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran. To go to the land of Canaan, semicolon, in the story.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process, they came to Haran and dwelt there. Okay, that's how we look at the scriptures now, okay? Then it said, and the days of Tiro were 205 years, and he died in Haran. They hadn't made it to Canaan yet. But notice something. Abram already has instructions about Canaan.
I was just going to ask that question. Was that something they was already supposed to do? They just didn't make it?
No, what do you mean? So,
go to Canaan?
Well, I'll say Tira didn't make it.
Okay.
Now, because this is why, so I'm glad, you know, class, you're asking these questions, because this is how we're going to bring about this truth to understand. Okay, this truth, and we'll understand it. Now, again, they travel from where?
Ur.
To where?
To the land.
Well, let me change that. Ur of what?
Chaldees.
To where?
Haran.
Where were they headed to?
Canaan.
So, where did Terah die?
Haran.
Now we get into chapter 12 now. We get in chapter 12, it says, now Jehovah had said, when did he say it?
Chapter 11,
what verse? Let's go back and see. He said it, and we know he said it in verse 31. See, all this time, I was thinking that God didn't start dealing with Abram until verse 1 of chapter 12. But Abram got information in chapter 11.
Was it Abram? Or was it?
Well, when you look at it, it says, Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, his son, not the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, his son's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. Now, in order to answer your question, what was your question again?
Was it Abram or was it Terah?
Let's look now, because we can't come to that conclusion. What we have to do? We got to let the scripture interpret itself. So when you look at chapter 12, that answers your question. Who does he say? Who does he speak to?
Abraham.
Now Jehovah has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto the land that I will show thee, Abram. Mm-hmm. His daddy hanging out like Lot. His father died in Haran. Abram is given instructions to get away from the Chaldees. Now, we need to understand what Chaldees is. Go ahead and answer, because we're going to confirm with scripture.
Babylon.
He told Abraham, get away from Babylon. Ur of the Chaldees is Babylon territory. So that's the kindred he was telling Abram to get away from. Get away from these fools, and I'm going to take you to a land, and I'll show you. These are the friends. I'm going to take you from this craziness, Abram, and get you to a land that I'll show you. Okay? Now, verse 1, he says, now Jehovah has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. Where is their country? What was Haran's, what was his brother's nativity? Of Chaldees. Let's go back and look at it. Okay? I know I got you thinking, but let's go back and look at it now. Verse 28. And Haran died before his father Terah in the land of his nativity. In Ur of Chaldees. That's his land of nativity. In other words, that is his native land. Okay? I was born in Honey Grove. Honey Grove is my technically native land in America, but you know what my nativity is. It's based upon my father, so it's the land of Israel. But I was born in Honey Grove, so from the perspective of this systematic center, when you look at my birth certificate said my nativity is Honey Grove, Texas. I was born there in the house that I was raised up in. Okay, so when you look at that nativity, it lets you know that this area was a place where Terah, it gives the understanding that this was the event that was going on with the Tower of Babel is just not something God looked at overnight and said, let me go down there and mess this up. You had kids being born. Haran. Our impression gives that you had these sons. Maybe even Abel was born in Chaldees. They were born there. It was their father's native land. It is amazing that Yah has given us that as a promised land. Okay. So as you look at all of this that's taking place now, you get over again in chapter 12, and you see now in chapter 12, this is what Yah had informed Abram. We have to say what the scripture calls it. You know, at first I was saying, well, I was like, well, maybe did he tell Terah? And I was like, okay, Genesis 12 saying that he's saying to Abram, so I have no information to say that he gave it to Terah, so I have to speak with chapter 12. Okay, that's how we deal with that. We don't have proof. We have to stick with what's being given to us. Okay. Now, verse 1 says, now Jehovah has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. Kindred with land.
Chaldees,
which is Babylon. Ur of Chaldees, that's that area. He's saying, get out of thy country. That was our father Abraham's country. That's the area where we sojourned. The dwelling place. We were in the loins of our father Abraham. So we, at one time, our nation lived in Iraqi territory. Okay? So you had our father Abraham being born in this area around Babylon or around Chaldees, Earl Chaldees, but around that area, and Yah said, get out from around you, no kindred. I'm doing something different with you. Okay? Get out from around them, and I will make you a great nation. When he spoke to Abram, again, verse 2, and I will make of thee a great nation, I will bless thee and make thy name great. What they were trying to do is make their name great. Y'all was like, that's not the plan. I'm going to scatter them, but I'm going to make your name great. And I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Not your native land, the land of Chaldees, where they're trying to build this power with their rebellious selves. I'm going to make you a great nation and let all mankind be blessed through you, because that is a curse. And mankind has been trying to build Babel ever since. Okay. Now, as we continue to read on here, verse 4, you had something else? Verse 4 says, so Abram departed, as Jehovah had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he parted out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all the substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. But you know, they gives y'all the impression they were there for a while. But he originally had the instruction when he left, Ur of Chaldees, because the scripture is telling you they're going to Canaan. So it's giving us an understanding. It's giving us some information, but it's saying you got to study the title all together. Okay. Now, verse 5, and Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in the land, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. Now, that answers your question over that. Hey, Haran is not Canaan. Okay?
Right.
And the land of Canaan, they came. Okay? Now, we need more information. Okay, we need to find, can we prove that Ur is Babylon? Can we prove that? Let's go to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1 says, Daniel chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the third year of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And Jehovah gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with parts of the vessels of the house of Yah, which he carried into the land of Shinar. It lets you know that Babylon and Shinar is one of the same place. Okay. In the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in wisdom and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science. See, our nation understood these things. We were a wise nation to the point where Nebuchadnezzar is asking for these people of our nation. Okay? Now, understanding science, cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they may teach the learning of the tongue of the Chaldeans, Babylon, Shinar. Same story. Y'all connecting the scripture to let us know that when you go look at Ur of the Chaldeans, and when you look at Babylon, and when you look at all these other scriptures that's tied in here, it all ties together, and it lets us know, okay, Shinar is Babylon. Babylon, Shinar, Chaldees, this is all the same land here. I see it in the scripture. Okay. Now we've understood that, now we move into Acts chapter 7 and we'll tie it up and get ready to close.
Was
Chaldees
a person?
I'm not for sure. I'm not for sure if Chaldees is a person or not. I tell you what, here's what you can do to kind of see.
That's a name that means clod breakers, whatever that means.
Okay. Clod breaker?
Yeah. I don't know what clod is.
Okay. Claw or clod?
Clod.
Oh, okay. Now we'll go to Acts chapter 7 and we'll tie this thing up. Now, when you start thinking with Acts 5, 6, leading up to 7, that's one of the things that was happening to the apostles, to the point where, and that's one of the things that excited me about, I think it's in chapter 5, whereby when the apostles were preaching the message of the kingdom, Christ, that he's basically the savior of all mankind who believe by faith. They put him in prison, and the angels came and let him out of prison. And they would go back to the temple and be preachers, and they would come there and look and be like, "Man, ain't them the same dude we put in prison?" They would go check the prison. They said the guard was still in there. They still guarding the prison cell, and everything is secure, but they're not in there. Oh, ain't no prison gonna hold us down in these last days. Put me in a concentration camp and watch what angels do. Where sin abound, graces go much more abound, and Yah is just revealing in his scripture that the system is not going to be able to deal with his sons of Yah. Put us in prison, angels going to, come on, earthquake, break them open. They're not going to be able to hold the sons of Yah, not in no concentration camp. Ain't nobody worrying about no concentration camp. Put them in a Walmart warehouse and watch what happens. Be standing on the corner downtown the next day doing exactly what I was doing when they first put me in there. So read Acts chapter 5. Oh, it will encourage your thoughts off when you start to see what God was doing with the world system at that time in order to show us that he's just as great or greater, just as great as Savior today and forever. He's just as great back then, right now as he was back then. So I got complete confidence. I ain't worried about what man can do to me. That's why the disciples said, "Who are we going to obey?" They told him, they said, "Don't preach this gospel. Don't mention that name of Christ." Well, who should we obey? Yah or men? Oh, boy, he's getting us ready for this stuff. And I tell you the truth, we will not be a nation that operates in fear. The sons of Yah, the remnant of Israel, will not be in fear in these last days. That's why he's getting us ready now. When that day comes, put us in prison and watch we walk out. Okay? Oh, yeah, I'll do exactly what you say. I'm just taking you right there just for a minute just to show you. Just to show you. Matter of fact, Yah was so awesome back then, if you even lied to the men of Yah, they just fell dead. You know? So, now, verse 17, Acts 5, verse 17, just a quick side road just to show you I'm telling you the truth. Acts 5, verse 17 says, then the high priest rose up. Verse 16. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folk, and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. That's going to be the defining line to tell the difference between the sons of Yah and these false prophets. Yah will manifest signs and wonders to go with the words that we teach. Okay? Then verse 17 says, then the high priest rose up and fell, rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison. But the angel of Jehovah by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, "Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life," the life of Christ. And when they heard, they entered into the temple early in the morning and talked. But the high priest came and they that were with them and called counsel together and all the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, "The prison truly," verse 23, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the door. But when we opened, we found no man within." Shoot, man, I wish they would. I'm fooling me in these last days, and Yah raising up his sons of Yah. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, y'all. Can't say that enough. He's going to do what he has done. You think he's going to protect the apostles who were preaching the message of the kingdom about our Lord and Savior, and they couldn't be touched? Can't no man do nothing to us in these last days? That's why he tells us, speak it on the housetop. Be bold. Be wise as a servant, harmless as a dove. Be bold about it. Stand for Yah in these last days. The power's going to go crawl up on the up on the rock, and they're gonna be puppets for the system because they're afraid of what man can do. I'm not afraid of what man can do to this physical body. I'm afraid of the Most High who can destroy the physical body and the soul. Now, with that understanding, Acts 7, verse 1. After that, dealing with all this here, you see Acts 7, verse 1 says, then said the high priest, are these things so? Because you look in chapter 6, they were dealing with, I believe it was Stephen, and the scripture says Stephen's face shined like an angel. And so Yah is showing signs and wonders as he's using, by the way, Stephen was one of the what they call them, the deacons. Stephen was like a deacon. And the Spirit of Yah was up on him to the point where he was teaching the gospel, and they brought charges and accusations against him because he was signs and wonders was following. And as you look in chapter 1, it says, then said the high priest, are these things so? And he said, men, brothers, and fathers, hearken, the Yah of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran. Yah spoke to Abram in Mesopotamia, or Babylon, or Shinar, or the Ur of Chaldees. Same place. So when they start talking about Mesopotamia, that's Babylon. That's the Babylon area. Okay? That's where all the language was confounded in the Mesopotamia area, Ur of Chaldees. All this stuff starts to tie together when you look at the scripture, and Acts tell us the process by which it happened. High priest tells it. And he said, men, brethren, and fathers, hearken, the Yah of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran. That's C-H-A-R-R-A-N, Charan, or Haran. And said unto him, get thee out of thy country. He said it to him in Mesopotamia, in Chaldees, in Babylon. That's when he told our father Abraham, get away from these folks. Okay. And he said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into a land that I will show thee. And then came he out of the land of Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from then, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein now we dwell. Yah spoke to Abraham in Babylon. Get away from these crazy nuts. Isn't it wonderful when y'all just deal with you and put it together? And we can sit there and look at the scripture precept upon precept and allow Yah to manifest these things. But we won't understand these things if we keep, I won't say we, from a perspective of just balance. Preachers never understand these things because the old has been done away with. Oh, that's why we so ignorant when it comes to the scripture. Because the old has been done away with, and y'all said, you need Genesis 11 and 12 and Daniel chapter 1 to understand Acts chapter 7. Yeah, they running around the new and just as ignorant because you need the old to even think about understanding the new. Well, sir, let's just go on somewhere. I see the look on your face. But leave it alone. I know what he's going to say. Just go and
say. They got old and the new. They still ain't going to
say. In other words, what he's saying in a nutshell, he gets on me all the time. I thank God for Elder, I call him my son. He is my son. Ain't no spiritual part about that when I say that. It's things going on from a spiritual perspective, but that's my son. So you know, that's why y'all were like, boy, I don't have to give you no actual son. I'm going to raise up one and it's the same thing. No different. But But he always challenges me. He'd be like, you just need to accept what you are. That's why he said they can give them the old and the new. They wasn't going to see that. I was born to unfeel about it. That's why I see it. They just jump off the pages. I was born. The scripture was written on the table of my mind. So every time I get to the verses, y'all just wake up what he already put in there. So just like he's saying, you can't study up on that. I'll be sitting there just reading, and all of a sudden the light turned on. I'll be like, oh, okay. So he's telling the truth. I was born to do it. Okay? Now, as you see that, again, verse 4, we're going to close. If you don't have any questions, it says, then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land where he now dwell. Verse 5 says, and he gave him none inheritance in it. No, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. That land is our land for a inheritance, a possession. People are on it right now, but I don't care who own it, who pretends, who think it's just because they got Balfour declarations and documents signed that the land belonged to them. Y'all said, watch me put my people in the land. I've given it to their father and the seed after him. I gave him that land when he didn't have no seed present.
Yes.
Declaration.
Please. We're going to go from a legal standpoint. It would trump anything that they have come up with since then.
And then, and all they're doing is manifesting another form of Babel, confusion. Now people saying, well, you know, I was born in this land and all that. So was Canaan, so to speak. Canaan descendants were born in it too. All them Amorites and Irites and Erites, I'm just saying. All them rights was born in that land, but it don't mean nothing. Why? Because Jah gave it to the nation of Israel, or the seed of Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His name was changed to Israel. That is our land for a possession. They will get out in Yah's timing. Read it again last time, verse 5. And he gave him none inheritance in it. No, not so much as he set his foot on. That was Abram's land, and he had never been there. Yah gave it to him. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession and to his seed after him. And as yet he had no child. Verse 6. Verse 6 now, and Yah spake on this wise, that his seed shall sojourn in a land, in a strange land, and they shall and that they shall bring them into bondage, Israel, strange land, America, and all over these other lands, because anything that is not our promised land, the Bible calls it a strange land. Okay, and give it to them for a possession and to his seed. Well, verse 6 says, and Yah spake on this wise. This is Genesis 15. Genesis 15, I think, verse 13. And Yah spake on this wise that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them evil for 400 years. And that nation whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said Yah, and after that they shall come forth and serve me in this place. What place? The promised land, Canaan. We're going back home, the scripture tells us. Nobody's going to be able to stop us from going back home when that time is right. Okay? Now, I showed all that with you because I wanted you to see how the scripture ties up, and now when you get into Genesis 12, when you ever understand what people are talking about Genesis 12, you know the complete story. That Yah spoke to Abraham when he was in Babylon. to get away from those people. So he was telling, what was he telling Abraham, Abraham in a nutshell? Get away from Jacob and Ham. Get away from Shem. Get away from your people. What's the scripture say? All of them was in the land of Chaldea. One language. Y'all say, get away from all of them. They trying to make themselves a name. I'm going to make you a name. So no, that promise of that land is not the any son of Jacob, nor any son of Ham, or any son of Shem, apart from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That land is not promised to nobody but the descendants of Israel. So you have the sons of Japheth in the land, so-called Jews or the Jewish people that's in the land, the sons of Japheth, that not their land. Then you have what appears at this point to be the sons of Shem in the land. Pretty much everybody in the land. Some handful, everybody's trying to dwell in that land some kind of way. And Yah's saying, yep, but you didn't know. Okay? Y'all got it? Any questions? Comments? Now we understand the truth from the perspective of when Yah spoke to our father Abraham. Okay? Father Yah, we bless your name on today, and we thank you for another facet of understanding. We just glorify you for dealing with us, and we kind of privilege that you're revealing to us the truth. And we just declare that as we continue to learn, we'll make adjustments as we come into the understanding of it. And we just give you glory. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.
I do have one comment.
Okay, go ahead.
I think what's interesting is, you know, there's a lot of times a lot of scholars try to say that the 400 years is when we were in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
But in the context of this statement, you would think that if it actually was Egypt, they would reference that here, but you notice that they don't say that.
Exactly.
And then, you know, they just speak as if it hadn't even came at this point.
Exactly. That is a very good point. And that's exactly what he was saying. He was revealing the full prophecy that was given to our father Abraham. And when you look at us as a nation, when that priest was speaking to our fathers at that time, when he was speaking to them, they understood that it hadn't happened yet. They knew they was on the brink of doing some things that was fighting against Yah, and they were going to get scattered as a nation. You go look at chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7, you will start to see that there were concerns that they were fighting against the Most High. That's why this priest was standing up saying these things. Y'all remember? Prophecy has been given that we were going to be scattered. Our Savior had said that we were going to be scattered as a nation. So he said, remember what God said to our father Abraham, that we were going to be scattered for 400 years. It was coming down. They understood that. That was knowledge they were known. That was known. They heard our Savior when he rebuked them and said, this place is going to be desolate. They knew it. They knew all the prophets. So like what Elder said, they knew they were going to be scattered. Our nation knew we were going to be scattered. Still rebellious. They knew all of the signs. They knew all of the signs to identify the Messiah, to identify the Lord and Savior. They knew all the prophets. They knew the signs of all the prophets, and our Savior fit every last one of them. They still rejected it. So, yeah, that was a good point. They didn't know we were going to be scattered in the future. Because our Savior said in Matthew 24, he said, see all these good stones, not one will be standing on another. And when this happens, you flee into the mountains of Africa. Flee into the mountains. They knew our nation was going to be scattered. They knew all the prophecies. We're just coming into the knowledge that our nation knew these things. That's a good point. Anything else? I'm glad you said it before we start recording. Go ahead.
One more thing. It's kind of like they know it like we know now. The scripture that say, you know, he's coming like a thief in the night. Everybody know that scripture, but it's like over the course of time, it's like, you know, people become, what's the word, callous to it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So it's probably the same thing at that. They knew it.
Exactly. We know that when Christ returned, it will be as the days of Noah. Everybody's doing their own thing. That's what was happening in Noah's day. We know this. The same way the elders said, they knew that we were going to be scattered. As a nation, they knew all the prophecies and the scriptures. They knew. Just like we know. When Christ returns, it's going to be as the days of Noah. They will be married, giving in the marriage. They're going to be partying, having a good time. Everybody will be doing their own thing. And did not know until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came. We know that. Look what folks still doing.
Mm-hmm.
Callous to it, just like Elder said, just like our leaders back in this time frame were callous to the truth. Christ did every prophecy. They still said, don't preach that night. Okay? We good? You got anything else? Okay. All right. I'm glad you said that for me.